What about the MBE? Did that just come out of the blue?
Yeah, that was just, no one really thought that was going to happen. That obviously you get the letter through the post and, it's another sort of an add-on from what we did, really. It was the first sort of Northern Hemisphere team to win a World Cup in the professional era, what was it? There's only been four before then, I think, wasn't that one?
Yeah.
Fifth World Cup, so first Northern Hemisphere team to do it. So they, the Labour Party at the time probably all felt the need to celebrate it.
Yeah.
And
you were grateful.
No doubt. It's one of those things, like you spend time at Downing Street, on the bus trip through London, you go to Buckingham Palace, you're meeting royalty, it's like you're doing all these things that and seeing people that you've only ever seen on TV.
A bit unreal.
Yeah, it's a bit surreal, isn't it? You're stood there in a room and you're being told this is how you dress Her Majesty, this is how you do it, like you're going, and you're thinking, you're just like, I can't mess this up, I've got to get this right, because everyone's going to be looking at you. And she sort of like, she walked in the room and all the corgis come first, and you're like going,
really?
Yeah, you're just like, this is surreal now, isn't it? And then she walks in and she was small, elegant, like lady, but just had such presence.
Yeah.
Such presence. And it was, and then you do get the sweaty palms and you're like, this, Christ.
She didn't ask you about your scrummaging technique?
No, nothing. No, I think she had to have a word with Mike Tindall, I think, before. just to sort of like suss him out to see if he'd be a good grandson. But no, it was, all those things sort of like came with it.
Yeah.
But it was weird because we had to ask Nigel Melville if we could have the day off to go on a bus tour around London. And I don't think he was too happy about it, because they weren't happy, Tom Walkinshaw and the club, and we're not happy that obviously we missed so much of the season, and obviously Gloucester didn't have the start of the season that they had the year before. So there was lots of things going on in the background that he was under pressure with, probably. So we were asking for a day off to go to London, and you could tell he was just like, why? Well, we got a bus route, then we're going to Downing Street and then to Buckingham Palace. And reluctantly, he said, yeah, you can go. And when we were driving down there, like, I was in the car with Phil, I think, or with Gomez, I can't remember. We sort of like driving in and go, there's no one going to be here, is there? Don't even look very busy. You pull into Hyde Park and we had to, I think it was the Intercontinental was the meeting point in Hyde Park. And then we all got on the bus, and Clive was like, you can't wear a coat because we've got to show off, the Hackett suit type thing. Yeah. And it was middle of December. and we went through Marble Arch, and I think that's the only time, apart from when royalty go through, that they open Marble Arch, I think. It's one of those special things. So we went through Marble Arch, turned right onto Oxford Street, and we're like that, oh God.
They were all there.
It was packed. It was ridiculous. Absolutely. We're just like, wow. They've got nothing better to do on a Monday or something like that. And they were all out there. And then by the time you got to Trafalgar Square and you saw everyone in Trafalgar Square, you're just like, wow,
for real.
Because back then you didn't have the internet. Well, there was internet, but there's nothing like that. You knew the six or seven journalists that were reporting on rugby for the papers.
Yeah.
You might get yesterday's paper in a newsagent somewhere in Australia, and you might have a little flip through, but you had no idea the impact we were having by doing what we were doing back here.
Yeah.
You had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people go, oh, I'm going to open my pub at 7 and put breakfast on. I'm not too sure it's a good idea. It could cost me money and so forth.
Yeah.
And you go, best decision I made.
Yeah.
He said everyone was in the pubs, for all your games, and the support was crazy enough. Yeah, so it was, but you had no idea that now, whereas, nowadays, it's, it's quite interesting. You on the questionnaire thing, you go, who was your mentor or influencers? Did influencers exist back then? It's like,
I still don't understand what they are.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I don't think they didn't exist back then. But no, it's look, it's one of those things. Live you for life, it stays you for life, doesn't it? It's like,
so when you come back from all this hoopla for the celebrations afterwards, the game was, and you're back to playing rugby again. You touched on earlier. So what was your first game after the World Cup for Gloucester?
Well, it was the following weekend. It was against Northampton Saints. So it was against, good side. Gloucester hadn't won five. I think they lost the last five games in the league while we were away. So there's a lot of pressure on the coaches. There's, so we came and they said, oh, look, we're going to put you on the bench. Gomersall started. Because he didn't play the week before, so he was desperate to play. Me and Vic's obviously done the week before. I'd done 100 minutes. And they said, oh, look, we'll probably put you on the bench, but we won't put you on to later. And I'm not too sure. I think that was the first year the league experimented with two props on the bench. But international rugby hadn't yet. So I think it was... So we were both on the bench.
Right.
So, and it wasn't until I watched it recently, we'd done this documentary, Unbreakable, about the 03 team, that I saw footage of Phil and I on the bench for this game. And the fitness guy come up to us, and I think it was 5 minutes after half time, and he said, oh, you're both going on now. And I didn't, that was the first time I seen it, and I saw Vix's reaction, just shaking his head, staring into the distance, going, they've gone back on what they said. And then I sat behind it, and I just sort of like leaned back in my chair and just think, all right, here we go then. And we ran on to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. The Shed was singing that as we ran on. So we run on to the first scrum, 5 minutes from their line, in front of the Stoford press stand here. We fly into the first scrum, obviously, because your emotions are up here now, because you're just listening to the Shed, and give away a penalty. so nothing had changed from the week before, so maybe we were actually to blame in that final. And then you just literally just got into it. We were both sort of, the reputation was there then, wasn't it? You suddenly, you're no longer Phil and Trev from World Cup winners. You're like, you probably have to play like that to a degree, and you have to you're there to help the team sort of get a win and everything. And luckily I found myself in a position outside Henry Paul where he slung me the ball from 40 odd metres out, and I sprinted a try in, and it was, it was one of those. I beat about three or four people, so I stepped the full back and scored. And the wingers outside me is absolutely fuming because I didn't pass it. And I was like, I'm never going to pass, really. And it was, it was one of those, sort of, oh, look, it's one of those ridiculous tries a prop could score. I was lucky enough to do it. It was a week after the World Cup final. Gloucester won the game. So it's almost like you're still at the top of the wave, just riding it. And you're just thinking, oh, everything you touch turns to gold almost. And it was one of those special moments again.
So that was in 2003?
Yeah.
And you moved to Sale in 2004?
Yeah, 2004. Like I touched on earlier, there was a lot going on between the clubs behind the scenes and the RFU. At that time, we had Tom Walkinshaw as the owner here, who pumped a lot of money into this club.
Yeah.
Built a squad that he felt could go on and win premierships and European. But we were his asset, not the RFU.
Yeah.
So he didn't like the fact that the RFU could just come along, select one of his assets, and not give him any money for it.
Yeah.
Done in his world, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's like someone coming to take his Formula One car
business
and not paying for it.
Yeah.
So in the background, Tom, was doing all this work with the Premiership rugby clubs, the RFU, about the clubs being compensated for England players.
Yeah.
So that if a player leaves here, it's,
he gets paid for it.
He gets, there's some, you know, compensation or something. So it got to the point where you can go and play for England, but I'm not going to pay you when you're with them.
Right.
So every minute you're with them, I'm not paying you. And it's almost like, well, why would I play well for Gloucester if you're taking away the England stuff?
Yeah.
Now, if you look at it 25 years on, some people have left England and gone to France, like, yeah, you know, Jack Willis, and he's just gone, well,
yeah,
England's not a certainty, so I'm just going to look after myself day to day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it was a bit different probably back then. It was, England was the be-all and end-all type thing, and you got there by playing really well for your club. So it's so it sort of like came to a sticky point in terms of negotiation, that if everyone was on the same deal, you'd swallow it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, I feel like I'm being made an example here to try and get, and I didn't really think too much about what he was trying to do at the time.
Right.
You know, if he said, if you retire from international rugby and I pay you an extra 100k, say,
yeah,
it might be different.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm going to take something away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, it was like, well, it was one of those things. It got drawn out. I literally thought I was going to end up with no club. And then Saint-André went to Sale as a coach.
Oh, right.
And I knew Saint-André could build a team.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He can, yeah, build a team, and he can get the best out of that group of players. You know, he's won the Premier, you know, that Sale team, you know, minus me because I didn't last long, I retired, went on to win the Premiership in 2006. He then got a team that went on and won the French Championship,
yeah,
you know, in France. So, you know, you knew that he could build a team. He could convince the owner to put the money into to get the best players and, yeah, and do something with it.
Yeah.
So, and he's, you know, massively passionate and emotional. You could get the, you know, he was always, you must have a big heart and big bollocks was his, you know, that was his team meeting, you know,
yeah,
and that was before the game. And, you know, you knew that he could get the best out of you. So that came along and that was, and look, it didn't work out. I got the injuries came back. I suffered a new injury, lower back injury.